looks like a paradise, but it is in fact the most treacherous desert in the world, the Kalahari. After the short rainy season, there are many water holes and even rivers. But after a few weeks, the water sinks away into the deep Kalahari sand. The water holes dry up and the rivers stop flowing. The grass fades to a beautiful blonde color that offers excellent grazing for the animals. But for the next 9 months, there'll be no water to drink. So most of the animals move away, leaving the beautiful blonde grass uneaten. Humans avoid the deep Kalahari like the plague because man must have water to live. So the beautiful landscapes are devoid of people. Except for the little people of the Kalahari. Pretty, dainty, small and graceful, the bushmen. Where any other person would die of thirst in a few days, they live quite contentedly in this desert that doesn't look like a desert. They know where to dig for roots and bulbs and tubers, and which berries and pods are good to eat. And of course, they know what to do about water. For instance, in the early morning, you can collect dewdrops from leaves that were carefully laid out the previous evening. Or a plume of grass can be a reservoir. And if you have the know-how, an insignificant clump of twigs can tell you where to dig. Then you come to light with an enormous tuber. You scrape shavings off it with a stick that was split to give it a sharp edge. You take a handful of the shavings, point your thumb at your mouth, and squeeze. They must be the most contented people in the world. They have no crime, no punishment, no violence, no laws, no police, judges, rulers, or bosses. They believe that the gods put only good and useful things on the earth for them to use. In this world of theirs, nothing is bad or evil. Even a poisonous snake is not bad. You just have to keep away from the sharp end. Actually, a snake is very good. In fact, it's delicious. And the skin makes a fine pouch. They live in the vastness of the Kalahari in small family groups. One family of bushmen might meet up with another family once in a few years, but for the most part, they live in complete isolation, quite unaware that there are other people in the world. In the deep Kalahari, there are bushmen who have never seen or heard of civilized man. Sometimes they hear a thundering sound when there are no clouds in the sky, and they assume that the gods have eaten too much again and their tummies are rumbling up there. Sometimes they can even see the evidence of the gods' flatulence. Their language has an idiosyncrasy of its own. It seems to consist mainly of clicking sounds. They're very gentle people. They'll never punish a child or even speak harshly to it. So, of course, those kids are extremely well behaved, and their games are cute and inventive. When the family needs meat, the hunter dips his tiny arrow in a brood that acts as a tranquilizer. So when he shoots a buck, it only feels a sting and the arrow drops out. The buck runs away, but soon it gets very drowsy and it stops running. After a while, it goes to sleep. And the hunter apologizes to his prey. He explains that his family needs the meat. The one characteristic which really makes the bushmen different from all the other races on Earth is the fact that they have no sense of ownership at all. Where they live, there's really nothing you can own, only trees and grass and animals. In fact, these bushmen have never seen a stone or a rock in their lives. The hardest things they know are wood and bone. They live in a gentle world, where nothing is as hard as rock or steel or concrete. only 600 miles to the south, there's a vast city. And here you find civilized men. Civilized man refused to adapt himself to his environment. Instead, he adapted his environment to suit him. So he built cities, roads, vehicles, machinery, and he put up power lines to run his labor-saving devices. But somehow, he didn't know when to stop. The more he improved his surroundings to make his life easier, the more complicated he made it. So now his children are sentenced to 10 to 15 years at school just to learn how to survive in this complex and hazardous habitat they were born into. And civilized man, who refused to adapt himself to his natural surroundings, now finds that he has to adapt and readapt himself every day and every hour of the day to his self-created environment. For instance, if the day is called Monday and the number 730 comes up, you have to disadapt yourself from your domestic surroundings and readapt yourself to an entirely different environment. Double zero means everybody has to look busy.
I've got a very good story here about handicapped children. Yeah, all right, look, I'm sorry. I'll only print sweetness and light, even if it bores the pants off them.
1030 says you can stop looking busy for 15 minutes. And then you have to look busy again.
Hi, Kate.
Hi, Pete.
You think you can use this? It's about the shortage of teachers in Botswana.
Good story?
Yeah, they're so short they'll take anybody who can read and write.
I don't know. I got bawled out for running a story on mugging. He says my page should only have sweetness and light, like Liberace and Jackie Onassis. I'm sorry.
And so your day is chopped up into little pieces, and in each segment of time you have to adapt to a new set of circumstances.
May I share a table?
No wonder some people go off the rails a bit.
Does the noise in my head bother you? No. Pete, have you still got that story about the teacher shortage in Botswana?
Yeah, you going to use it?
No. Maybe they can use me.
But in the Kalahari, it's always Tuesday, or Thursday if you like, or Sunday. No clocks or calendars tell you to do this or that. Lately, strange new things sometimes appeared in the sky. Noisy birds that flew without flapping their wings. One day, something fell from the sky. He had never seen anything like this in his life. It looked like water, but it was harder than anything else in the world. He wondered why the gods had sent this thing down to the earth. It was the strangest and most beautiful thing they had ever seen, and they wondered why the gods had sent it to them. Babo got his finger stuck in the thing, and the children thought he was very funny. At first, he tried the thing out to cure thongs. It had the right shape and just the right weight. It was also beautifully smooth and ideal for curing snakeskin. And Thabo discovered you could make music on it. And every day they discovered a new use for the thing. It was harder and heavier and smoother than anything they'd ever known. It was the most useful thing the gods had ever given them. a real labor-saving device. But the gods had been careless. They had sent only one. And now, for the first time in their lives, here was a thing which could not be shared because there was only one of it. Suddenly, everybody needed it most of the time. A thing they had never needed before became a necessity. And unfamiliar emotions began to stir. A feeling of wanting to own, of not wanting to share. And other new things came. Anger, jealousy, hate, and violence. He was angry with the gods. He shouted, "Take back your thing. We don't want it. Look at the trouble it brought." But the gods did not take it back. He shouted, "You must be crazy to send us this thing. Take it back." Then he shouted, "Look out, look out." But he spoke too late, and the thing felled his daughter, Tani. He carried the thing away from the shelter and buried it. That evening, there was no laughter and no chatter around the family fire. A strange feeling of shame had come over the family, and they were very quiet. He said, "I have buried the thing. It will not make us unhappy again." That night, a hyena smelled the blood on the thing and dug it up. But a bad-tempered warthog chased the hyena away from her territory, and it dropped the thing. The next day, Kani found it. Her brother Toma heard her playing on it, and he said, let me try too. That night, the family was very unhappy. They began to talk about this thing that had come into their lives. They did not have a name for it. They called it the evil thing. Kabu said, "Perhaps the gods were absent-minded when they dropped the evil thing on the earth. They've always sent us only good things, like the rain and the trees and roots and berries to eat, because we are their children and they love us. But now they've sent us this evil thing." He said, "The thing does not belong on the earth. Tomorrow I will take it to the end of the earth and throw it off." Kuvu said, "I think the end of the earth must be very far. I think you have to walk for 20 days, perhaps 40. He said, "I will start walking tomorrow." 2,000 miles to the north in the state of Barani, trouble was brewing.
It's 35 million to combat erosion in the Munda Valley, and 6 million for the improvement
Hold it,
of
Minister.
The breeding stock.
We can't.
That was Sam Boka's gang. You said they were in Cabinda.
That's what I thought.
How many got away?
There were 2 jeeps, 4 got away.
Sam Boka was not with them. This time he's got to die. Find him and kill him yourself.
Bring him here. Where is Sam Boka? Where is your hideout? Bring the one in the corridor.
Bring that one.
Where is Sam Boka? Where is your hideout?
Take them to the helicopter.
They went south. I'll direct you from the helicopter.
Yes, sir.
Gaz Gazla?
4 of the 8 assassins got away in 2 jeeps. The other 4 were shot down in the cabinet room by the security guards of the president.
Bastards.
The assassins were wearing the brown t-shirts, which have become the trademark of the terrorist gang led by the notorious Sam Boka. However, eyewitnesses state that Sam Boka himself did not take part in the assassination. It is assumed that he masterminded the attack from a hideout some distance from the capital. Government sources announce that the assassins killed the ministers of education, public works, and agriculture. The president, who miraculously survived the hail of bullets with only a flesh wound, will be addressing the nation in a few moments.
We did it! We did it! We got the president! And we got 5 of his ministers!
Put in inspired attempt.
You didn't, you know. That's him.
It was the will
of the Almighty that I was spared. But we deeply mourn the deaths of 3
members of our cabinet. We extend our deepest sympathies to the...
He's lying. We got 6 of them. I saw them go down.
You killed 3 and wounded 5. And you lost 4. Why do I have to work with amateurs? Did you get away clean?
Yes, we were in and out in 2 minutes. They'll never find us.
Thank you.
What happened?
We ran out of gas.
How long ago?
About 15 minutes.
Okay, let's go.
Now you tell me. Where's Semboha? Where's your hideout? Next time you're gonna be a bit higher.
I'll tell you, the banana forest at Tumkaz. I'll tell you, I'll show you the banana forest at Tumkaz. I'll show you.
Colonel Glasser, do you hear me?
Radio, General.
Banana forest at Tumkaz. Follow me.
Right, General.
The man we want to get is the president, not the bloody minister of education. And this time I'll come with you. We'll get him in his bed.
Cover up. Come on, Banyana, mount the bazooka. Move it. Hurry up. I'll take cover. You go there. Not there, you bloody fool. Get out of that.
Well?
They're there. You cannot see them. But they're there.
Okay.
You see? There they are.
Okay, come on.
The most inquisitive creature in Africa is the baboon. He said, "That is a very evil thing you've got there. You better give it back to me so I can take it away and throw it off the earth. It brought great unhappiness to me and my family. If you don't give it to me, it'll bring much grief to you and your family, too." He spoke long and earnestly until the baboon began to pay attention. In the end, he must have convinced it, and it dropped the thing. And he said, "You have done a very wise thing."
So you want to go into an Albert Schweitzer in Botswana?
I just want to get away from all this for 6 months or a year.
But in the Kalahari.
Oh, Mom, it's not in the Kalahari. Botswana is an oil desert.
Son of a barongo. Get in there, you morgo hall. Why do they always put the bloody nuts where the bloody Spanish can't get at them? Hit like a barongo right in my bloody face. Come along, Gonjo. Every year I have to lay here on my back like a goddamn hoodoo. Sends it more, you son.
Keep it down a bit, Mpudi. I'm trying to tune the scanner. Okay, Mpudi, go ahead.
Yeah, every year you comes here with the bigger and better tent and bigger and better equipment, and every year you turns up with the same son of a maraca, and I have to work my ass off.
That's funny. This elephant's dung shows a complete lack of boron. Hello, Reverend. What are you doing on a horse?
I hit a rock with my crankcase, cracked it wide open. The trouble is, I have to meet the new schoolteacher at Mabula today.
Oh, boy. Well, you can have that one, but she's in a terrible shape. We've been knocking around in the Khamadulas. I promised Mpuda I'll work around here for a while so we can have a whole week to patch her up. Here, Reverend.
Thank you.
Get in there, you bloody son of a malaka.
Morning, Mpudi.
Animal.
Morning, Mpudi.
Morning, Reverend.
Will this thing make it to Mabula and back?
She's going to be a bastard to start. Sorry, Reverend. I put in new rings and they're very tight.
But will she make it?
You said I could have a whole week.
This is an emergency. What we want to know is, will she make it to Mabula and back?
I hasn't even looked at the brakes or the diff or the steering.
Booty.
Okay, she'll make it. Soon as I connect up the steering rod. But she's going to be a bastard to start. Sorry, Reverend.
There we are, Reverend. And she'll be all yours.
I don't think I can handle her. I hear Mpudi calls her the Antichrist.
Well, she is a thing.
I was hoping that... I was hoping you could go.
Well, Reverend, I'm very awkward around women.
Yes, aren't we all?
No, it's not like that. When I'm in the presence of a lady, my... brain switches off or something. I turn into a complete idiot.
Yes, you ought to meet more women.
It only gets worse.
But you will do this for me?
Come on, Prince. Come on. Go, boy. Come on, boy. Come on, come on. Okay. Okay.
You tried to murder me, you son of a maraca!
Don't ever switch her off or let her stall. You'll never start her again.
I know.
And don't park on a slope. You've got no handbrake.
Now you tell me. Goodbye, Reverend.
Bye, Andrew.
Take care now. Goodbye.
Bye, Pudi.
One day, a very noisy animal rushed past where Key was sleeping. It left very peculiar tracks, as if two enormous snakes had slithered past.
Thank you. Yay!
Can't hear you, sir. He's dead.
Shut up!
Hey, wake up! Come and give us petrol here. The two jeeps pass here.
Yes, sir. They took off my stock. They took a big drum of petrol. They made me to lie down. If you find them, please ask them. They must pay me my money, sir. It's such a lot of stock they took.
Thompson?
Yes?
My name...
How do you...
My name's Andrew Steen.
How do you do?
The Reverend cracked his crankcase, so he... asked me to.
Sorry.
It's all right.
You're. I'm too sorry, madam. Sorry.
It's all right.
What are you doing?
What are you? Your brakes are shot.
Yes.
What are you doing?
I'm opening the gate.
How do I get out of here?
No, it's all right. I...
No, I just...
Oh, this is too weird. I'm getting out.
No, it's okay. I just have to...
What are you doing now?
Well, I'm closing the gate, but I don't want...
Crazy! The gate is right. You want to get me killed? Are you crazy?
All right, Miss Thompson, it'll come back.
What?
The Land Rover, it'll come back.
What do you mean it'll come back?
All right.
I suppose you think that was funny.
I'm sorry, the brakes don't work.
I noticed.
He saw a very strange-looking person, and he greeted him. But the man didn't hear him. He said, "This is a funny stick. Did it grow on a tree?" He couldn't understand why the man had run away. Then he realized the man must have seen the evil thing he was carrying, and that's what made him run.
She stopped.
I noticed. Can you start her again?
No, we gave her new rings and they're very tight.
How far are we from the mission?
About 30 miles.
Will we get there before dark?
I don't know. This thing has stopped.
I noticed. Are you sure you can't start her again?
Yes, this morning it took a horse. Three men.
So now
what? Well, I can make a fire and there's some food. A sleeping bag.
Spend the night?
I'm afraid so.
You sure this thing stopped?
Yes, didn't you notice? I can carry you across, then you don't have to.
Okay. Thank you.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
Oh, look at my dress. My shoes. I lost my shoes.
Your what?
My shoes.
I'm sorry.
Well, watch it, Buster.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I'll fit your bag.
No, don't. You'll drop them. I'll get them myself.
All right, she's gone.
Keep away. You keep away from me.
No, I won't. There was this warthog.
What warthog?
She's gone now, but...
Keep away.
I was...
Go away.
I was... I didn't.
Only about half a mile away, he was fixing dinner when he was rudely interrupted. The rhino is the self-appointed fire prevention officer. When he sees a fire, he rushes in and stamps it out.
Do you work here in Botswana?
Yes.
And what do you do?
I collect manure.
Get away from!
Oh, leave me
alone. Thompson? Miss Thompson? Miss Thompson? Oh, it's all right. He's gone.
Who's gone?
The rhinoceros.
What bloody rhinoceros?
Well, didn't you see him? He stamped out the fire.
You stamped out the fire? I saw you.
No, he did it first. And I didn't want him to come back, so... But didn't you see...
Keep away!
Miss Thompson... If you make a fire and a rhinoceros sees it, he comes and stamps it out. Rhinos do that. It's a most interesting phenomenon.
You get these sudden urges and then you come up with warthogs and rhinoceroses.
All right, I'll show you. I'll make another fire. Think I'm alive. I'll show you. You see, I'm making another fire. You'll see, it'll come back. I'm a liar. Maybe it's too far away. Maybe it's upwind.
Kumela.
Ask them. They'll tell you rhinoceroses always stand out fires.
I don't speak the language.
Okay, I'll ask them. Muchikuro, chikudu I bonamulo, yautima.
Yamore.
See?
I noticed.
But they Tswanas. They always shake their heads when they mean to say yes.
What are you doing?
I'm making coffee.
Here and they didn't show me their passports and they smashed down the barrier and they've got guns. This is Frank speaking, sir.
Frank, were they traveling in two jeeps?
Yes, sir.
They are being followed by some armored cars. Can you see them yet?
Excuse me, sir. Yes, sir, I can see one.
Stop them right there.
Yes, sir. Stop.
Frank, what was that noise? Frank?
I stopped them, sir.
Right. Now explain to them that they cannot cross our border under arms. We cannot allow them to violate our territorial integrity.
Yes, sir.
This is Lieutenant Mabasha. Request permission to cross your border in hot pursuit of Semboja.
Sorry, Lieutenant. We cannot allow an armed force to come into Botswana.
But I've got to get Semboja. He shot up half our cabinet.
Yes, our police will track him down and hand him over to you, dead or alive.
Can't they help us?
They'll take a message to the river. I think I can get the thing out of the river. There's an electric winch on the front. It's a weightable tree. You mustn't go near a weightable tree or they grab you.
Could you hand me my gown, please? It's in the suitcase. The pink one with the white edging.
That morning, he saw the ugliest person he'd ever come across. She was as pale as something that had crawled out of a rotting log. Her hair was quite gruesome, long and stringy, and white as if she was very old. She was very big. You'd have to dig the whole day to find enough food to feed her.
Go away.
Although it was a hot day, she was covering her body with skins that looked as if they were made from cobwebs. She was doing strange and magical things, and it struck him that she must be one of the gods, and he wondered what she was doing down here on Earth. But he was glad he'd met her, because now he could give the evil thing back to her and go home to his family. So he said tactfully that he didn't need the thing anymore and she could have it back. But she was very rude and she walked away. That's a bushman. How did he get here?
I don't know. He's very rude.
There was another guard. He had a fire inside him and the smoke came out through his mouth and nostrils. He said politely, "It was very kind of you to send us this thing, but it made my family unhappy. Please take it back."
Sorry, no, Savvy.
Where's the truck?
I'll try and get it out.
There was a peculiar sound, and then he saw a most amazing animal approaching. Its legs went round and round instead of up and down, and there was a weird-looking guard on its back. He wore a blue skin on his head and a red one on his body, and hair grew on his face.
What the hell happened? Where have you been? The reverend is doing his nut.
The funny thing about these guards was that they couldn't speak. They could only make chattering sounds like monkeys.
Hi.
But what happened, man? Where's the Antichrist? What the hell did you do that for? Huh?
I'll tell you later. Let's get it down.
And the little bushman? What's he doing in these parts?
I don't know. He was trying to tell me something.
Ini kamu, Siti Kwaja.
You speak bushman?
Yeah.
Busa misis a kompi kaka ba kutko kaka.
The hairy one could speak.
He says, thank you for the bottle, but you can have it back now.
I didn't give it to him.
Well, he don't want the bottle.
Then he'd better throw it away.
The hairy one said, we don't want the thing. You'll have to throw it away yourself. He was very disappointed. He thought it was unfair of the gods to make him throw the thing off the earth. In fact, he began to doubt whether they really were gods.
Comes the great white hunter to the rescue.
Miss Thompson, I presume.
Hello, Stane. How would you like to travel in style for a change?
Yes, thank you.
How do you open this thing with a can opener? Quaint, milady.
Well, thank you very much, Mr. Stane, for...
Bye-bye, Stane.
Goodbye, Miss Thompson.
By the way, I am Jack Hyde. Boy, is the Reverend worried. He got to me on the shortwave, so I offered to come and look for you, and that was very sweet of me.
Sure was.
Would you like to sit over there?
Sure. Oh, thank you, Mr. Stane.
See you, Stane. See you, Moody.
I'm a lunatic and I don't blame her. You know, she asks me, what do? And I say I collect manure. I don't tell her I analyze it for my doctoral thesis. I bet you she thinks I shovel this stuff.
Was it rough?
I'd rather not talk about it.
That rough. Well, it won't be long now and your suffering will be over. Only when you get to the mission, you'll have to stand there and look beautiful for a few minutes while the whole tribe sings their welcome song at you. Then you can relax, have a bath, and a nice breakfast.
Is it true that when a rhino sees a fire, he stamps it out?
Where did you hear that one? It's Thane telling you. Now, why would he want to tell you a thing like that?
I'd rather not talk about it.
Yeah, this will put some hair on your chest.
That's all I need.
And she wouldn't believe me about the war talk, the bloody rhinoceros.
What bloody rhinoceros?
I don't want to talk about it.
So how did this thing get up the tree?
She got stuck in a weight of a tree and eyes. You know, she's got flowers on her panties.
So that's how this thing got up the tree?
Yes.
You switch your guns over from automatic to single fire.
Must immediately report to the nearest police post. Anyone who withholds information which could lead to the capture of these criminals.
That's automatic. That's single.
However, citizens are warned that Sandbocher is an extremely dangerous person and that he and his gang are well armed. So it'll be unwise.
And why are you so beautiful?
Rainer, I'm going to the school to give a
look. You're going to look like that?
Like what?
Like it's a funeral. You got to smile, man, and tell her she looks good.
How come suddenly you're an expert on women?
I got seven wives. How many you got?
So why aren't you at home with your seven wives?
I know how to marry them. Nobody knows how to live with them.
So what did you marry them for?
Shishi. Someday I have to tell you the facts of life.
And yet we all agree that every face we greet was cracked by Mr. Nobody. His come in.
Good morning, Mr. Thane.
Morning, Toss.
Good morning, Mr. Thane.
I brought you...
want to talk about it, huh? Shame.
There were some ridiculous-looking animals, but they looked good to eat, and he was hungry. Suddenly, a young boy made chattering noises at P. So he greeted him and said, I shot one of those animals. It'll go to sleep soon, and then we can eat it. But the boy ran away, maybe to call his family to join in the feast. There was a weird sound, and another of those strange animals with the round legs appeared. The young boy and a grown-up got out of it, and they seemed very excited. He said, come sit down, there's enough meat for all of us. But the man was rude and greedy. He took the whole animal. He said, you have very bad manners. If you want to eat the whole thing, I'll have to shoot another one for myself. The man shouted at him, but he didn't want to have anything to do with such an uncouth person, so he ignored him. Suddenly, there was a thunderclap. The animals ran away, and he ran after them. He was very hungry.
Emma! Emma!
Do you speak English?
You are free to remain silent until we have seen your lawyer. But if you choose to speak now, whatever you say will be taken down as evidence against you.
Why are you so beautiful?
I got to go to court.
What did you do?
No, the cops were here. They say they caught a little bushman for stock theft. They say all they can speak is Kiko, 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 so they want me to interpret.
Call me now! Kiko!
They brought Key into a place where there were several people. He smiled at them in greeting, but nobody smiled back.
You, Kiko, are hereby charged with wrongfully and unlawfully slaughtering one goat on the 21st of September, 1980, in or near Matokwe. How plead you? Guilty or not guilty?
Mpudi found it very difficult to interpret, because in Kiko's language there was no word for guilty. Finally, he asked, did you shoot an animal? He said, yes, I did, but that man took it. He did not want to share it with me.
Well, what does he plead?
Not guilty. They gave him the death sentence.
For killing a goat?
No.
3 months in jail, same thing. He's gonna die for sure. He never seen a wall in his life. Now he got walls all around him.
But didn't you explain to them?
They said silence in court.
But surely they ought to know.
Nobody knows the bushman. Nobody ever goes into the deep Kalahari.
How come you know so much about them?
Way back when Botswana belonged to the British, I hid a policeman because he insulted my father. So I fled, right into the Kalahari. I died, you know, dehydration. And some of those little buggers found me and they buried me. Only my head stuck out. And for about 2 weeks, they kept on pushing water and food into my mouth. And when they dug me up, I was nearly white, like you.
Yeah.
I lived with them for 3 years. They're the sweetest little buggers. He gonna die for sure. Can I go to Mahadi tomorrow?
You want to go and see little... what's his name?
I want to get him out.
Now, don't do anything silly.
They got to let him out.
Maybe if we explain to them.
You coming too?
Yes.
Says he's sorry. He tried to eat the food tomorrow. Has he eaten anything? It's been a week.
No.
Of course we worry. We can't force feed him.
You've got to let him out.
He's got 11 weeks to go.
Well, is there no way? Can't we buy him out or something?
Well, if somebody wants to employ him as a convict laborer, but he has no experience, no qualifications.
He got qualifications. He can teach you things about plants and animals.
Yes. We want to employ him as an ecological expert.
He will have to remain in your employ for the full 11 weeks. If he leaves, you'll have to hunt him down and lock him up for a very long time.
Okay, thanks.
We can't put him inside.
No, you're right. I understand the words, but the meaning talks about a bad thing, an evil thing, and about the end of the world. Well, explain to him he has to stay with us for the full 11 weeks.
He doesn't know from weeks.
All right, we'll tell him when it's okay to go.
Andrew, Purdy.
Hello, Jack.
I hear you've got a bushman working for you. Is that him?
Yeah, his name is T.
Are they good trackers?
Best in the world.
Mind if I borrow him? One of my bloody guests wounded a kudu and my trackers can't find it. This is where we lost him.
You see, he find him.
Thank you.
Choo-choo! Get!
I'm sorry, I didn't realize.
I don't want to talk about it.
You can drop those guns.
Am I your bastard?
You want me to let fly?
Now get out. Keep your hands up.
No one, attention until you go in there.
Bring out all the kids.
Sergeant, I'm going to walk due east from here to Mutambi, and I'm taking all these kids with me. If I see one truck, or one aeroplane, or one policeman, or one soldier, or one person, we'll mow these kids down. Have you got shortwave in there?
Yes.
Now get on to headquarters and tell them I want a corridor 10 miles wide. The army and the police better clear out everybody. And they've got to put down food and water every 20 miles. And then get the hell out of the way before we get there. Tell them that. All right, get them into a circle. I want a big circle around me.
You've got to leave the small ones here. It's miles and miles to Motami. They'll never make it.
Okay, now buzz off. And start clearing out the people from this end. Because I want to start marching in 2 hours. And I warn you, you better clear out everybody.
Now hurry, Kalahari. Kick up a clutch. Misa Goran Kato Kongo. Then hold it. Got a Morristan. Don't hold it. I'll leave it alone. Click, click. I kick out my own one. Go, clutch, clutch. Misa Dunlop, take that hard thing to choose. Oh, I'm teaching him to drive, just for the hell of it. Nothing else to do around here anyhow. You still mooning about the school, Mom?
Sort of. I want to move up to New York for a few days so we can do a game count.
So how's this thing gonna get us to the monkey rope jungle?
We strip it down. Come on, T! Come on!
He don't know from doors.
Pakistan.
Stop playing that bloody game. Okay, it's time. Let's go. Move them. Come on, everybody up. Come on. Let's go. Keep them going. Keep them in a circle around me. Move them. Move them. Don't leave any stragglers.
Keep it all to yourself.
You shut up, see? Get them into a circle. A circle, a circle.
Stop yelling at them.
That's not a bloody circle. Can't you do anything right?
And get them into a circle. They keep on coming up in a square.
All right, then make it a square. Let them walk in a square. Keep them going. Don't let them straggle.
Who says they'll come this way?
He says he wants a corridor 10 miles wide.
Well, I'm sorry, ladies and gentlemen. We'll have to get out of the way for now until he passes this point.
Where can I find Andrew Stane?
Yeah, you'd better warn him, too. He's about 5 miles that away. You turn right at the, Hang on, I'll come and show you. Johnny, will you take them to Machadi?
Tell them to sing. Come on, everybody, sing, sing!
This morning. Come on.
Sure. Is there a way around this?
It's a hell of a long way.
Well, let's go.
He says there are people things down there.
Where?
Down there.
Army truck. Unloading something. I wonder what they're up to. Looks like food. Cooking pots and stuff. Maybe it's a picnic. Funny. They're going away. They went away and just left the stuff.
Yeah, funny.
Oh, well. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6...
Thank you.
You've got to let them rest. The smaller ones can't keep up.
They can rest when they get to the food.
You're driving them too hard.
It's a long way to Mozambique.
But you said 20 miles. They can't walk 20 miles without eating.
Look at that! I told you, stop playing that funny game!
You've got to let the little ones turn back.
Nobody turns back. Next thing, everybody's gonna get sore feet. Next one drops out, I shoot him. You, help him. If you got a carrier, carry her.
If I catch you playing again, by God.
March!
They can't march 20 miles. They're not soldiers.
If they want to eat, they'd better march 20 miles.
Are you scared it'll spoil your image if you admit you made a mistake?
You, come here. See that hill over there? Go to the top and wave this thing until the army people see you. Then you go down to them and tell them Sam Boha made a mistake. Now I want them to leave food every 10 miles. Understand?
Yes.
Now get going. Move!
March!
One ostrich and 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. A lot of children. The food must have been left there for them. Hey, what the hell? They've got guns.
The kids?
No, there are men down there with guns. It's no picnic. I think those kids are hostages. What was that on the news about Sam Boha?
You reckon?
That man said I must go to the top and I must weave my kanga. So Miss Kate said 20 miles is too much.
Is she down there?
Yes.
We'll have to immobilize them. Are Bushmen good stalkers?
Best in the world.
Let him have a look at them. All right. Explain to him that the men with the guns are bad men and we have to put them to sleep.
He wants to know how did all those people get in there.
No, they're not... you explain.
1 hour, then we move. I'm going to have a snooze.
Dear Miss Thompson, your abductors have been injected with an immobilizer. When they go to sleep, you must disarm them. Tell him he must give her the note only after he shot all the men. And when he shoots, he must pull back on the thread very quickly so the man can think it was a horsefly or a wasp that stung him. He's fast, it'll work. He must dip the needle each time.
I can't see the little bugger. Yeah, I see him.
Now, look at that.
Yeah, he's clever. Nothing's happening down there.
It takes time.
Who are you?
Some of those guys are down. She's going to need help when they wake up.
Age of the wake up, man. You got to wake up. Come on, you can't sleep now. Come on.
We need some rope to tie them up. There's plenty in the land room.
Okay.
No, he can fetch it. I didn't teach him for nothing.
He got curry, he got two. Arisa, netawa, land rover.
Says he don't understand the gears.
Arisa, netawa, gotcha, come on.
Told him he can drive in any gear.
Okay, let's go.
And you take that one. And you, that one. And I'll take them. There's only six, there should be eight. Maybe they're asleep as well. I don't know. All right. I want you to circulate among the children quietly and tell them that when we grab the guns, they must run very fast into that crevice behind us and take cover. Okay? Good.
I'll keep you covered.
Six. There are two missing.
Yeah, this one here. And I heard some shots from over there.
Look. Over. Yeah, Mfuti, hold him.
Got water in there. Hold this for me. Get up.
But what happened, man?
It's a long story.
What happened to those guys? Are they all dead? You kill them?
They've been immobilized. They're sleeping.
Where's Kate and the kids?
They're hiding back there. They can come out now. Oh, my God. And Buddy. Keep that guy covered.
You're safe now. Sergeant, you better collect those men before they wake up. You're right.
Did you fix him good?
Yeah. Get up. Walk. Ay, ay, ay.
I'm sorry.
I'm sorry.
It's all right, Stan. Move. Sergeant, you'd better get on the radio and organize some buses to take the kids home.
How come suddenly he's the big hero?
We'd better get back to our equipment.
Says thank you and goodbye and hopes you have lost our children.
Tell him thank you, I'll miss him.
He can't use that stuff.
Well, I have to.
Bushmen don't know about money.
Well, what else can I give him?
There's nothing here he can use. Bushmen don't need things.
Well, he's got to take the money. It's the law.
Him cut so it.
He's going the wrong way. The Kalahari's that way.
Says he got to find the evil thing and get rid of it. I don't know. I'm going to miss the little bugger.
Me too.
You're going to look like that forever?
Like what?
Like Jack Hind is a better man than you?
No, I'm going to talk to him.
Yeah, tell her you were the big hero.
No, I can't do that. But I do want to talk to her. I'll tell her. I'll say, look, Miss Thompson, I know you think I'm an idiot, but normally I'm quite normal. It's only when I'm in the presence of a lady that I, well, it's really just an interesting psychological phenomenon. If a man who is susceptible to a type of parafreudian syndrome like this encounters a nubile female, what happens?
I suppose another big word happens.
To erudite.
Yeah, whatever that means.
Okay. I'll put it more simply, I'll say. Look, Miss Thompson. Kate. It's really only an interesting psychological phenomenon. She'll understand that bit. She's a school teacher. I'll say, when there's no lady present, I can catch the tiniest insect without hurting it. If she gets to know me better, she'll see I'm not such a stumble bum. All I need is a little practice. If I could just...
Wait for me. You need some moral support. Better do your thing before the pupils come.
Yeah. Morning, Miss Thompson.
Morning.
How are you?
Fine, thanks. How are you?
Fine, thanks. And how are you?
I'm fine, thank you.
Kate... I know you think I'm an idiot, but I'm not really like that. It's only when I'm around William, around you. I'm sorry. Normally, I'm quite normal. But whenever I'm in the presence of a lady, my fingers turn into thumbs. My brain switches off.
Watch it!
It's Flower.
I noticed.
It's actually... Actually, it's really only an interesting psychological phenomenon. Perhaps it's some Freudian syndrome. That day when I brought you your shoes, I actually came to apologize for all the stupid things I did when I met you at Mabula, and I wanted to explain that I'm not really as stupid as that. But then, of course, I blew it, and I... So I don't blame you if you think... But it's really only an interesting psychological... When you get to know me better, you'll see that I'm not always stumbling. It's really just an interesting psychological phenomenon.
Yes, you are a very interesting psychological phenomenon. And I think you're very sweet.
Yeah.
He was beginning to think he would never find the end of the earth. And one day, suddenly, there it was.